Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us now, Matt Wilhelm, Nathan's partner at Cleveland Browns Daily.
My man.
Looking smooth, isn't he, with that new fresh haircut?
Thank you. I try. You know, it's hard work and somebody's got to do it, right, guys?
The fresh helmet is tight.
A lot of hair sitting on a barber's chair, but we'll talk about that later. Hey, you guys had a chance earlier this week to hear from defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill on Cleveland Browns Daily to kind of set the tone for what he wants the defense to look like next year.
We want to be a cutting-edge scheme built around old-school philosophies. And in order to do that, you got to stop the run.
Yep.
We want to build a bully on defense. We want to be the team that nobody wants to play. And to build a bully, you got to be able to stone people in the run game. And that's where all of our focus has gone as a staff. That's where we're going to start day one with our guys when they're back here in 2 weeks. And we've attacked it. You know, we've had long days. You know, what can I do better? What can we do better as a coaching staff? How can we put these guys in position to be more successful? Because when you stop the run, now we can be exotic, and now we can go punish your quarterback. And that's what we're looking to do. And that's a step that we have to take in order to build that bully that we talk about in the AFC North.
All right, we all know what the AFC North's about, but explain the bully to me, Matt, because what exactly is that, a person or is that a philosophy?
Well, in today's NFL, the offense usually sets the tone. They come out with certain schemes, certain formations, and the defense is in a very reactive state. When you're the bully, you're saying, we want you to run, we're built to stop it. And then also, too, when you drop that back to pass, we've got the best playmakers on the back end, and we're going to rush you, and we're going to force you out of the pocket, and we're going to have you eaten out of our hand. That's being a bully in the National Football League.
And that's participating in the AFC North.
And it's part of setting an attitude and a tone. When somebody sees Cleveland on the schedule, they don't want to go play them. They know they're going to get their nose busted in. They're going to get knocked down. They won't be helped up. And you talk about that's what you're doing up front, the tone you're setting. Then you're getting after the quarterback. And on the back end, you have three Pro Bowlers back there in your secondary cleaning things up. So this has the makings of a dominant defense. And I think that's what Jim O'Neill wants it to be, a feared, respected, and revered defense.
All right. Also on your show, he singled out two guys in particular that he wants to see more out of next season.
Well, I'm really excited to see Mingo perform in year two. You know, he got dinged with that shoulder injury the second play of the season. So, and I really liked the way he was coming on in the preseason and through training camp. And that was just unfortunate. So he's a guy I'm really excited about. I would say the next guy that I'm excited about just because of how well he finished the year is probably Pierre Desir. He's got such a pro mentality already for such a young guy. We called on him at the end of the year, and he was a guy that we were kind of counting on just redshirting all year.
Sure.
He was a part of the 53, but he never would have been up on game day. And, we had some injuries. We threw him in there, and he played really well. And, one of the big question marks was he going to stick his face in there in the run game? And he showed that he would.
Two guys with high hopes. First, let's start with Pierre Desir. Play like a Brown, I think he did exactly what the coaching staff wanted last year. He talked about that redshirt year where they needed him. How'd you think he stepped up at the end?
I think it was a consummate professional. You know, he waited his turn. He was of the mindset that he was going to wait, that he was not going to play. But yet he came to practice every day, as we know, Nathan, and practiced picking the balls off, making it difficult on Brian Hoyer or Johnny Manziel, whoever it was playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, just giving them a great look, and earned a spot at the end of the year when his number was called.
You love him.
I love him. When Jim O'Neill said that, he knows I was fired up because I'm like the president of the Pierre Desir fan club. People call up and give me crap about that all the time. But this is a guy who came in with injuries, shut down Mohamed Sanu in the second half against Cincinnati. Then you go on the road in Carolina, starts against Kelvin Benjamin, who was having a phenomenal rookie season, a big guy, holds him under 50 yards, couple pass breakups, including in the end zone. He's a guy, consummate professional, and I think that's what he was talking about, that maturity. He's married. He's got kids and another one on the way. Pierre Desir has a crazy story, an odyssey that got him to the NFL. He doesn't take anything for granted. And that number two cornerback battle, Tremont Williams, the number one, the first pick last year, Justin Gilbert, and Pierre Desir is going to be fun to watch in camp. Don't count out Pierre Desir.
All right, another thing that Browns fans want to see next year, and it's a way for the Browns to definitely improve and build that bully, is to stop the run. Everybody wants to see it. Here's what he had to say about that.
Just as a team overall, we're going to surprise people. And on defense, we talked about building the bully, and Pet talked about willing to bloody your nose in the AFC North. We're going to be a tough defense. We're going to knock people down. We're not going to help them up. We're going to stop the run. And I'm going to say that again. We will stop the run next year on defense, and we're going to earn the right to rush the quarterback. And when we do earn that right, we're going to hit teams' quarterbacks.
That's what we're
going to be about defense. But we're going to build a dominating, intimidating group that the Dog Pound can be proud of and that they can go crazy out on third down for.
We will stop the run. Big words for a team that definitely needs to stop the run. He kind of set the stage, though, to let you know. I don't know if he's telling us what's going to happen in the draft, but defense is a priority again.
Of course it's a priority. When you want to be that dominant, you need to have those guys on the D-line. Now, they're moving Phil Taylor into the nose tackle. Randy Starks is going to come play the three technique. You got Dez Bryant at the five technique. You still get coming back John Hughes from injury, Armani Bryant from injury. You've also got Billy Wynn, Ishmaili Kitchen. So you've got depth, and it looks good, but I think they want that massive disruptor in the middle. So I think come draft day, if Danny Shelton from Washington is on the board, 80 tackles, 16 and a half for loss, 8.5 sacks from a nose tackle position, if that guy's on the board at 12, I think he comes to the Cleveland Browns.
I absolutely agree. He's a disruptor. He makes everybody's life easy in that front seven.
Frees it up for you,
man. Frees it up for guys like me. You know, again, the attention in the middle will allow Paul Kruger and Barkevius Mingo to get one-on-one blocks, so it'd be a great choice, and this defense would skyrocket with a guy like Danny Shelton.
And we heard him talk about Barkevius Mingo earlier, and just this is a guy who played last year injured, played like a Brown. And now he has both arms back. He really played without a right arm. I think he's going to be counted on with the departure of Jabal Sheard to play a big role opposite Paul Kruger, and I think he's going to thrive in his third season.
All right, I know you guys have been tearing it up with the mock draft, but what you're saying, though, is defense with the first pick and then wide receiver, and don't be disappointed if they don't take a wide receiver with the first
pick. I'm okay with going defense, defensive line, then an edge rusher. I think that's the second biggest priority on this team. And then when you got Dwayne Bowe, you got Hartline, you got Hawk, I feel pretty good about our receiving core, especially compared to where it was last year. Where's the hole? It's tight end. Could that be Max Williams from Minnesota in the second round if he makes it there? Or how about Devin Funchess from Michigan, a guy who many say is a receiver, but I think he plays that move tight end position in the NFL, and I'd love him to slide into that spot.
Absolutely. And I know the mindset, and Jim O'Neill shared this with us this week, is that the two picks in the first round and the one pick early in the second round, we've got to go get three starters.
Yep.
So a Danny Shelton would be an immediate starter. A pass rusher would be immediately start opposite Paul Kruger. And a wide receiver potentially in the second round would be mixed in as a starter as well.
That's why I say no O-linemen early. You can get interior line depth later in this draft. It's deep.
All right, boys, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on the show again this week.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
And we'll be looking for all your draft stuff at ClevelandBrowns.com, and we'll be sure to check you guys out on the radio on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hang on, Dog Pound. We've got more to come right after this.
Coming up next on Dog Pound Report, one Browns player works towards a record season and our weekly predictions.